For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
LeBron is wearing down.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
16 seconds. James, a deep three. Short.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
LeBron's wearing down.
Earlier on the show, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. Coming up, Colts general manager Chris Ballard. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just had a very nice chat with Kyle Shanahan, taking us inside of the 49ers draft room. And joining us now is one of our favorites from the general manager's position. By the way, Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, is going to be joining us in short order. But the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard, is back on the program. How you doing, Chris? Good to see you, man.
I'm good. Good to see you.
Good to see you. What's going on in your neighborhood? What do you got?
Well, it takes me about 4 days after the draft. My body shuts down. Oh, Rich, my body just shuts down. So I feel better. I'm whole again. I feel better and got some more juice in my body and good to go.
I mean, my gosh, I'm the same way, but I'm sitting there and, you know, just like you, I'm doing 257 picks, but I have to stay stationary. Do you move around? Are you a pacer?
Do you pace? Absolutely. Huh? I'm a pacer.
Oh, you're Indianapolis. You're Indiana. Hey, now, see what I did? You pace? Okay. So what you do?
See, I played that up, too. Pace all the time.
I like it. Yeah. Okay. Do you like the 8 minutes? I know you didn't have really a first-round selection. Not really. You didn't have one. But do you like the 8 minutes?
Yes.
Per pick?
It was great because we're not there till midnight. I mean, we can get it done. We know what we're going to do. Teams know what they're going to do. And if we're going to make a trade, there's been enough talk beforehand. And when we get on the clock, we can get it done. I'm all for cutting it to 5 if we could do it.
Really?
I'm all right with it.
For 5 minutes for a first-round pick, Chris?
I loved it. I mean, look, Rich, if we've not got in our minds what we're doing, like if we're on the clock and we're still debating who we're taking, it's a little late. Yeah. Like, and even with trade talks, I still think teams are good at it. You know who you're dealing with. You can get all that done. I mean, it's so much easier than it was back in the day that, you know, you had to call in, write the paper, you know, you had to go up to the runner. But I thought it was great. Like the 8 minutes was great. I think under 3 hours, right?
It was close. Yeah, it was just right at 3 hours. That's right. Just right at three hours.
Then they're, you know, look, it's just like a game then. I mean, they're trying to get them under 3 hours, and now we got the draft in under 3 hours. So we're doing good.
I would be up for day three being like 3 minutes a pick. Right?
I'm all right with that. Absolutely.
You are. So you don't need more time to grind when you're down towards the end of your board, right?
No.
You're saying?
No. The discussions are happening before, and then if somebody takes a guy that you – I mean, you usually got a few players there that you're choosing from, but you've got it worked out most of the time of what you want to do.
All right. Well, I'm all for that. I'm all for day three being a little shorter. Night one, though, I mean, I like talking, Chris. You took 2 minutes well, away from me. I mean, straight up, you know, I mean, there's an I in Rich. There's an I in Rich and Eisen, Chris. You know?
Oh, yeah. You'll be back to 15 minutes.
No, I think Roger wants to move it along. He wants to move it along. You know, and when I draft in my fantasy draft, I start barking at guys who take longer than a minute. You know what I mean? Like, I want to move this thing along. But you're okay. So you'd be down fine for 5 minutes of first-round pick. Interesting. Let's talk about your draft. Smoked him if you got him on Thursday night. And then C.J. Allen is your first pick. Walk me through what you liked about this Georgia Bulldog, Chris.
Well, I mean, look, he's anytime a young player goes in and plays right away at Georgia on defense, you know, they got something to him, in which he did. But he fits kind of not only athletically and speed wise what we wanted, but his mentality. I mean, he's been one of the face of the program guys there for a while now, stands for all the right stuff, adds an element of toughness and consistency out of a player that you want. And we were really excited that he was there for us and able to take him.
So you feel like he could be a day one starter?
Rich, like with anything, they got to prove it.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing about the draft. We all have enough ego and arrogance to think that we're right 100% of the time, but they got to prove it. Which, you know, we think he will, but we feel good about who he is and his talent level. So I think he will, I think he'll ascend pretty quickly when he gets in here.
Now, looking at the rest of your draft, you hit the defense in a significant way, adding to your offensive line and running back room on offense. And then I want to hit Deion Burks, who was the fourth to last pick in the draft. And Daniel Jeremiah had him in his top 70. Like what happened there? Do you think?
I don't know. If I had a definite answer for you, I just know I looked up in the seventh, and there was two players we really, you know, Seth and Deion, and so we take both of them, and you know we'd studied them hard, but then I went back in and I remember Deion. Remember he was at Purdue, and so I started pulling out tape from Purdue the other day, and this is after we took him. And I called Shane and I said, holy cow, what luck. Like sometimes, like let's don't, like you got to get a little luck in this now, Rich. Mm-hmm. And I said, how this kid was here this late, I don't know. I'm just glad he was and I'm glad he's a Colt.
Well, in terms of luck, it seems like you got unlucky last year, Chris, to be honest with you. The injury bug hit you at the worst possible time. I mean, you flipped two ones for Sauce just at the time that an Achilles pops in your quarterback and the fortunes kind of change right there. I see you kind of gave me a look when I said about being unlucky last year. Would you not agree with that or what?
Nobody cares about your problems. They're just glad you got them at the end of the day.
Right.
Nobody cares. I mean, in this, they don't. And it's our job to figure it out no matter the circumstances. So, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't get it done. And I'm not going to sit here and use the injuries as an excuse. We didn't get it done.
And how is Daniel looking?
He's good. He was out there doing backflips a minute ago. If you'd have been here quick enough, I would have got it on tape for you. I'd have pointed this toward the screen.
Send us a video.
I'm sure the social media team got that if you're really being serious, Chris.
No, he's doing well, though. Okay. He is throwing, he's dropping, and he's right on schedule and doing really well. Couldn't be more pleased with Daniel.
What surprised you about him, if anything, getting to know him? Seeing what he did for you.
Just like we had Alex Smith in Kansas City. They're a lot alike. How they prepare for the game, how steady they are day to day. Just there was a lot of similarities. And then I probably underestimated his accuracy coming in the door. I mean, this dude is accurate now. And when he's in rhythm and really in a groove, he is excellent. Those were the things that we had scouted Daniel, but you know, until you live with somebody, you don't know them. And so, you know, living with him every day, seeing his consistency, seeing him not get too high or too low, all those things bode well for his, you know, for the Colts and for his future. Well, he's really good, Rich. He's really talented. This guy's talented and good.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the Super Bowl was just won by a first round drafted quarterback in New York who had to go elsewhere after a lot of folks there thought he was drafted too high and disappointing. So why not you, obviously, with yours in Daniel Jones? And you got him on the dotted line, 2 years, $88 million. What insights can you give me, the audience here, about negotiating with a quarterback and the market value of quarterbacks and how you pay and how if it's not as high as others, what that indicates? What's your two cents on this issue, Chris?
It wasn't an easiest one to get done because, you know, he didn't finish the season out and then having the Achilles. So we needed to find a common, and I give athletes first and Brian Murphy and Andrew Kessler a lot of credit. You know, they worked hard on this, as we did, to find common ground. And it's usually when you get one done that at any, like any big contract you get done, both sides are going to sting a little bit. You're not going to get everything you want. And you're probably going to go a little higher than you wanted. And they probably went a lower than they wanted, but that's part of the negotiation. And look, the last thing I want for a player, Rich, like I think sometimes this is what the world forgets. These are human beings. And like, you don't ever want a guy to sign with you and then be looking around going, man, these guys just screwed me. Mm. Like you don't want, that's not good for your team. It's not good for the player. It's not good for morale. But he played well enough to where we were willing to bet and say, okay, we think he's got a really bright future here. And, you know, the money we're going to pay him, it's going to be worth it. And I truly believe that. And I think ownership does, and Shane and the rest of the group.
One of my favorite things to do is ask you your opinion of what the media says. So here we go. Or just the general sense of what's being said. How do you respond to overpaid for Alec Pierce, Chris?
Well, I think a lot of people would have overpaid if we overpaid. So I think others would have overpaid also. No, Alex is excellent. he is excellent, man. You never overpay a good player, Rich. You can't overpay a good player.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like about him that you're like, I am going to make a long-term commitment knowing that he hits the open market? People may match what I'm doing, if not exceed what I'm doing for him. What do you like about him where you're like, this is worth it, Chris?
We saw the early moments his first 2 years, okay, where vertically he could do some really special things. But going into year three, remember, we had drafted A.D. Mitchell, and who's very talented. He's now in New York, and I think he's going to do very well. And Alec, right after we drafted, Alec came into my office and said, Chris, what does this mean for me? And I said, nothing. It means nothing. Go to work. And I said, things work out for guys that work and produce. And that's exactly what he did. He's unselfish. He never complained. He's done – him and Reggie – I give Reggie a lot of credit, Wayne a lot of credit too. They worked on his whole game. So he – like he can beat you vertically, but really what's made him more dangerous now is he can do it all. He can beat you on every level. And that's what's made him a lot more consistent as a player and much harder to defend. And like every time we needed a big play or an explosive play, he comes up big in those moments. Like it is hard to average over 20 yards a catch in this league, and he's done it a couple years in a row.
And what, before I let you go, Chris, your backup quarterback, for the lack of a better phrase, what's the scoop with Anthony Richardson right now?
Well, nothing yet. You know, he's still a Colt as of right now. Mm-hmm. We'll continue to work through that, but he's still an Indianapolis Colt. We've also got Riley Leonard on the roster who did well last year. So we'll work through that as we go along.
Okay. Say hi to Jonathan Taylor for me. I love that guy.
I will. I know. He just had a child.
No
him
kidding.
And his wife.
Okay.
Yeah. Proud, right. Happy for him.
I'm happy for him too. What was
I just
asked Shanahan what it was like telling Kittle welcome to the team. What was it like saying that to Taylor? What was that call like when you called him up? Jonathan Taylor.
Oh God.
Say welcome to that, the Colts.
Well, it was a pet look, because we're both Wisconsin alumni. So
okay.
And so I'm close with the program. I mean, Paul Chris was the head coach.
Right.
Who I'm very close with. And, you know, I've been watching Jonathan since his freshman year. And then, if you remember during that draft, we had taken Pittman. And then that was the COVID draft.
Right.
So I just remember, and Jim knew how much we loved him. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody's on the Zoom. And all of a sudden in the background, he just unmutes and he goes, "Hey, Chris, Taylor's up there. You love him. Go get him." That's all I needed to hear. So we traded up and got him. And no, that was a cool moment. That's one that'll last for a lifetime. That just how it went down, cool. The circumstances of COVID, the connection to Wisconsin. That was a pretty special moment.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the time, man. Always love chopping it up with you.
Same here.
Seeing you.
Thank you.
So what's next? Vacation time coming up at any point for you? No.
I would like to go on vacation, but no, not yet. Nice. We have a son graduating here in 2 weeks from high school. He's going to Stanford.
Hey.
With Andrew.
Whoa.
I've got another daughter that's at Baylor. I've got another son that plays at Kansas. I've got a daughter that's at Indiana. So we're going to have one left in the house, our youngest, and she's going to be a junior. So dealing with all of them, and they're all over the country right now. So very proud of my kids. My wife deserves all, like Rich, like most of us, my wife did all the work. I just show up.
Congrats.
I'm the sixth child.
I was about to say, I was doing the math. No wonder you hired Philip Rivers. Listen.
we have a lot in common. Hey, here's a good story. I know my time's up, but
No, go ahead, please.
And they can't find me now because it's too retroactive. But like during, we're both Catholic. So remember, we couldn't even go to Mass. Like they said, we couldn't go to Mass. Mm. So I remember Philip and I said, look, if you like, I'm going. And if you go, and all of a sudden, like I'd have my family. And then here'd come Philip in his van and all of them filtering off going into Mass on Sundays. It was great.
I love that. All right. And one last one, if you don't mind.
No.
Since you mentioned Indiana, do you have any connection with Cignetti? Talk with him. I'm so fascinated by him, man. He is, I can't get enough of watching him work and listening to him talk and what he is building in Indiana, what he has done. Anything? Just because you're in the same state?
So we're not really? No, look, we're not. I don't have a. I'm not real close with him at all, but there's guys on his staff I am.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. I study and watch him. And in the history of college football, is there a better turnaround? I mean, mm-hmm. I used to think it was, you know, Kansas State back in the day, but what him and his coaching staff have done and those players, just tremendous. And it gives hope to teams out there that, you know what, you can still find players that others, like that's the thing I loved about what he did is he just went and got players that he knew fit what he wanted and he believed in them.
Right.
And then they all, and a lot of them weren't big recruits. I mean, that's like, I think what gets swept under the rug is how good an evaluator he is and his staff of what fits for them. Just a tremendous job. And look, I'm a Wisconsin grad, but I'm also rooting for the Big Ten. So once I figured we were not in the mix, I was all about Indiana.
You and me both, you know, being a Michigan guy for sure.
That's really a tough spill for the Michigan arrogance now.
That's okay.
I mean, hey, let me tell you something. Y'all, it's hard for a Michigan man to admit when they're not quite at the top of the heap.
You know, that's okay, Chris. Because
basketball.
No, because who won in your building? Who cut down a net in your house? You know what I mean? You walked me right
Rich,
into that, man.
I couldn't have set you up better. I was actually, I mean, like I couldn't have set
roll.
That one up any better.
Yeah, like an alley-oop. I just jammed it through that net like Michigan did in your house. Good to see you, Chris. You be well.
You too. All right, thank you.
That's Chris Ballard, bye-bye. Everybody. Colts GM, love chat. That was great.
Chris Stockton?
That was easy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was Karl Malone. Speaking of Fernando Mendoza, LinkedIn Hiring Pro, everybody. If you're running a small business, you know every hire matters. And a bad hire costs time and money, but the right one helps your business grow. And the challenge is finding that right person without sorting through resumes. And LinkedIn Hiring Pro enters the fray right here and now because it screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. All right. From Chris Ballard to Dan Quinn. Look at us.
Boom.
Look at us. With Chris Weber still to come. Speaking of Michigan winning.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one big happy simulcast family. All right, man, look at us. We must be butter.
On a roll.
We are. From Kyle Shanahan to Chris Ballard, now the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, is back on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Coach? Good to see you.
Man, I'm doing good, Rich. It's good to see you as well. And, yeah, pumped to be on with you as always, man.
Pumped to be on with you, too. So let's walk everybody through Thursday night a week ago from right now. You were on the clock, seventh overall. Sonny Styles is there. Was that just to rip the knob off? That was it? Don't have to wait any time?
It was cool. Like, just the way it felt, like, man, there's going to be an excellent player. And I'm sure you guys had kind of felt the same thing into that space. When Kansas City traded above, I didn't know. Honestly, it said, oh, man, here we go. And so when that took place and knowing that we were going to add him to the group, man, that was awesome. He had such an impact at Ohio State. And even on his visit here, it was so strong, Rich, how much he loves it, the traits, what he looks, you know, like playing the game and where we think he can go to, man, we're really pumped about it.
Well, I mean, he is a mixture of a monster and humility.
Yes. You know what I mean? Excellent combination for a linebacker.
Right. And so let's just take it one step at a time. The combine. I've done the combine now for 20 plus years on NFL Network. Yep. Can count on the number of times on one hand that I was blown away by a combine performance, saying it's one of the best I've ever seen. And his was that. What about for you?
Yeah, I think it's rare. You know, you've covered it enough, and certainly me being in the league long enough, this type of linebacker, the athletic traits, the speeds, the size, the length, it's not an every year player. And I'm a developmental coach, man. I can't wait to coach him. And he's hungry for it. He wants to improve. seeing, you know, his first couple of years at DB and then shifting down to linebacker at the start of the 24 season, I just feel like Rich, this guy's going to take off reps at the position and like just seeing it more and more. Man, I can't wait to get rolling with him.
Yeah, I know. When you say I'm a developmental coach, I can't wait to get started on coaching him. Can you pull back some of the layers for the fans here? Like, what do you mean by that? What will you do? Like, what, when you see this kid, you will do what?
He has such unique traits to him. And so we'll play a lot of zone where we'll have vision to the QB, and you can imagine this type of speed, this type of length to be able to close to the ball. Although he hasn't blitzed a ton at Ohio State, you know, Reese was there as well. And so the fact that we're going to also send this guy as a blitzer. So I think it's that kind of versatility, where we'll align him, how we can do that. He's got the football acumen because of his time at safety, that the coverage part of his game is intact. And so to see him unleashed in some new ways, that's going to be something that, like, man, I very much look forward to being a part of.
Do you possibly green dot him? Do you green dot him?
In the practice, we'll certainly consider that. And a number of guys will have it during the practice times, but he is definitely capable of that. And it's one of the nice things now with the guys already doing that in college, Rich, that in the old days we'd wait, does he have the leadership? Does he have that space? And so for him, he's the type of player that can certainly handle that.
Have you ever crossed paths with his dad? Ever?
What was kind of the fun part of he and his family coming here, he was actually teammates with London Fletcher. And so he was here working the draft on the media side with the team. And so to see these two guys as teammates years ago, winning the Super Bowl together, I believe in St. Louis, and then having the chance to come and spend time together here, that was a pretty cool moment. And it kind of speaks to teammates and friendships and walking right back into a conversation that you might have had, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, when you mentioned London Fletcher and obviously the position in the defensive side of the ball, that's some significant franchise connective tissue, to say the least here.
Yeah, I would definitely say London was good with it.
Yes, he certainly was. And then, you know, tell me more about the visit where you're like, okay, this is it.
Yeah, so on our 30 visit, not every team does it quite the same, but we do it where a number of guys are here.
Oh, I remember that. That was supposedly where you were disrespected, where Jaden Daniels was being disrespected. I remember that from a couple of years ago.
The quarterbacks and et cetera.
I remember that. All right.
I think Jay would be the first one to tell you that is absolutely not the case.
Right. But, no, I know that. I'm sorry. I say things in terms of media narratives. You talk about reality. I talk about media narratives, which might not. Some of them are the same, but that one is not. But I remember. So you're still doing that where you get a whole bunch of guys together, right?
And leaving here. He said, man, I'm coming back. And I said, man, let's put it out there right now in the atmosphere. So that night when we selected him, I said, how about it, man? Just 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, we talked about coming back, being in this building. He had such a connection. You could feel it with Ken Norton during their time together. And Ken's been just tremendous at developing linebackers through the years. So every once in a while, all the stars aligned to make it happen. And this was one of those cases.
Yeah. And just a couple more minutes on Sonny here. I don't know if you're aware of this. I told the story here. Not that you're aware of everything that I say in front of this microphone, but after Sonny was done with his combine workout, he wound up with some of his teammates and some of his friends in the same hotel restaurant that all of us, a bunch of us at NFL Network were in.
Okay, no, I haven't heard this.
Okay, and he was, again, fresh off that workout, said to, you know, one of our producers went up to him and said, hey, great workout. And he looked the producer in the eye and said, do you really think so? Is what he said. Yes. Yeah. No, he meant, like, that wasn't sarcastic, which is what it might sound like. It was genuine. Like, do you think so? And, you know, our producer goes, yeah, I think so. Yeah, you know, and so does the rest of the world. But it's kind of a window. You know what I mean?
Speak to the humility of this guy, like the hard work, the humility, the awareness that he wants to go and improve and get better. He's got really high standards. So I couldn't have been more impressed meeting him and his family when they came after we selected him here. And so it's not surprising to see after meeting mom and dad, man, he and his brother, two squared away guys.
And I've got Dan Quinn here on the Rich Eisen Show. If we take a look at the rest of your draft, If you wouldn't mind doing us a favor and walking us through these picks, what you think, why you liked, starting with your third round selection out of Clemson, the wide receiver Antonio Williams.
Yeah, so there's another guy that we had here up to Virginia and D.C. to visit with, and a wide receiver with elite quickness inside and out of breaks. He was an excellent route runner, and we thought he could play both outside and inside in the slot. So, man, we're pumped to add him to the crew. Josh Joseph's an edge rusher. Man, does he have width, get off. I think he's got real pass rush to him. So Adam and I, we felt, man, this guy in the fifth round, what a cool guy to try to develop and see where he can take it. Catron Allen in the Penn State record books as the all-time leading rusher at Penn State. I think that speaks to a lot. But when you watch the tape, we're going to run a lot of zone. Man, he can put his foot in the ground. He's physical. He's got good size. We're excited that Catron being a part of it. An interior player, Matt Goldman, we're going to put him at center. Played at Wake and both at Michigan State. We thought he was tough. He could play these interior guys with good strength, get moving off the line of scrimmage. We're excited about him. And then from a quarterback spot, adding Ethan to this group, into the four with Sam and battling up for the third spot. Another good competitive guy, man. So we're excited about the class. And then, as you know, Rich, also like some guys that get signed after the draft. And so that whole crew, which we would consider the rookie class of 26, they'll report a week from tomorrow. And we'll get started with the whole crew. But I'm rock solid about these guys, man. I can't wait to get rolling with them.
So did you like the 8 minutes? Again, I understand you didn't need to wait long to turn in Sonny Styles' card, and you didn't have a first-round selection in addition. But do you like the 8 minutes?
I did. I thought maybe as it went down into the middle rounds, would there be more difficulty, somebody trying to get to 15 or to 20 who was, further away, and would there be more calls? In the early ones, it's, not as many on those calls when you're up in the top 10. So I thought, what would that look like between 15 and 25? But I'm a fan of it. What about your perspective?
Oh, God, I felt like I was doing cardio, Dan, to be very honest with you. We lost 2 minutes, but I didn't lose, number of voices as a host to get in. I thought it was too quick because from the broadcast. I know we're just talking about what you're doing.
Yes.
When you've got Jeremiah Love drafted, and then the big shocker, honestly, as great as Sonny Styles is, and Caleb Downs is in your division in your old spot, and Arvell Reese is in your division in your home state, it was a stunner that Carnell Tate was the first Buckeye mentioned. From the podium
To go through all the guys.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Now here's Carnell Tate. And then, here's Arvell Reese and the Giants. Well, hold on a second. Now there's a trade with the Chiefs. Wait a minute. Oh, here's Sonny Styles. I honestly felt like I got my steps in.
Yeah, you're doing a play-by-play. You weren't calling the draft. You were play-by-play.
But those are what we call television first-class problems. I'm honored to be sitting there at the desk. But you asked, that's my answer. I thought it was quick.
I'm interested.
But I would take 4 minutes or 3 minutes in rounds 5 through 7. I would take that. Let's go home. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I kind of felt. Would you be up for something like that? Cutting minutes off the back end?
Because maybe in the last couple, you have a good sense. And as the draft board's going, you're trusting those grades where you're at. And so there's not a lot of deliberation when your guy's there and you're pumped about it, man, you turn it in and get rolling. So yeah, I think your next visit with Roger, you can certainly.
RG1, I'll speak to him. Sure. And I'll turn you again one more time into a pundit in a way. This draft where the running back taken 3, hybrid guy taking 5, receiver taking 4. You took a guy that's supposedly an off the ball linebacker, right? At 7, Ioane, I thought, is one of the best offensive linemen in this draft, but he's an interior guy, can't go middle of the first round. I mean, do you think any sense of the conventional way to draft players positionally might change from this, or that's just the way it is in the NFL?
Yeah, I think there's some chances for things to change and adapt, and what you may think 1 year could be different based on the talent at the position, how deep it would go. But yes, I do think where things we wouldn't have thought of doing before years ago, now we would consider and oftentimes are doing. So I like that, honestly, our game changes and evolves, and what we did, you know, 20 years ago on offense and defense has evolved. And so I think the fact that we're seeing that now in scouting and draft, I think that's pretty cool.
All right. So the superpower, I think, one of the many for your quarterback and Jaden Daniels is he's the same guy. Right. Same right. guy. Doesn't change. Demeanor doesn't change. His sensibility doesn't change. His fire doesn't change. That said, last year had to be so frustrating for him. Is he coming back differently, do you think, year three? Different sense at all?
Well, definitely his, you know, most frustrating year in his young career of ever playing football, like just injuries and missing time and having to go through that. Anybody who goes through those significant ones, man, there is a little extra hunger that comes back. That's human nature. It's whether a guy's coming back from an injury or a performance, there's usually an edge. That's all competitors, Rich. And so I definitely feel that with him. He's already an elite competitor, but to add on and a little fuel to the fire, man, nothing wrong with that. And I can definitely relate. So I think for a guy who's already at an elite level as a competitor, nothing wrong with turning up the heat a little bit.
Do you stoke it?
Yes.
Do you stoke it?
Yes. In a good way. Like, I know what he can be and what his goals are and where he'd like to go. So that's our job, right, as coaches, to push it and see if we can bring out the very best in the players. It's one of the most satisfying feelings as a coach, knowing you can take a player from point A to point B and help them reach where they want to get to. Those are significant moments, and Jaden is exactly the right type of player to do that with.
How do you stoke it, if you don't mind me asking? Do you literally say what people are saying, that sort of card?
No,
do you play that? Okay, what do you say?
No, I don't play that card. Right. So I would – it's more the, you know, at practice, the location of the ball, the accuracy, those are the things when you're really going to be excellent. Can you push the standards that you're – wanting to go compete with? So yeah, it's definitely an internal one, not a narrative from outside, but knowing what he's capable of, I'm qualified to do that push.
You had some leadership goats and some Hall of Fame goats on that defense. I know we spoke to Von Miller recently. He wants to be a general manager. He was talking about hanging with Adam Peters a little bit, but yep. I think he also still wants to play. And then you got Bobby Wagner, your reigning Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner. Any chance we still see them in burgundy and gold or what?
For players like that, you never close the door. And they are remarkable, Rich, not just as ball players, but as teammates. And the level of detail those two go to play. And different positions. But if you wanted to go find out about pass rush, just spend an afternoon with Von Miller and hand placement technique. What are you looking for? He could literally coach a number of the interior players. And even when we were watching some pass rush in a meeting room together, you'd see him share insight or share a comment. So he's got remarkable ability, not only to know what it is, but articulate how to apply a skill or a technique. And with Wags, he's, you know, one of the very best leaders I've ever been a part of. The standards that he sets as a ball player, as a teammate, the traits, preparation, mentally, physically, the practice habits. And I think of him and I think of tackling. I just do, man. Like, I've used his example all the time. And man, am I like honored to have coached him at two different spots. And still both these guys can still play.
I'm sure they would be able to download Sonny Styles with some crucial information. You know what I mean?
There's no question about that. And that's one of the fun parts, man, of the NFL when players give back to one another. I've learned quite a bit from players myself, a different perspective from the lens of the helmet. And so guys like Wags and guys like Von Miller, they provide insights that others don't. Zach Ertz is another one in that space.
That's right.
Has a unique perspective because of the matchups they've been in, the games, the situations. And so when you're adding a player like that, you're not just adding just the player. It's a lot of times the wisdom that comes with that. And, I enjoy those moments of digging deeper with guys like that.
How's Zach doing?
He's doing excellent and working hard from a rehab standpoint. Mm-hmm. Knee injury towards the end of last season, yeah. But he's absolutely putting it in and just like Vaughn and Wags, you know, has a lot to prove.
Yep. Dan, thanks for the time, man. Always love our chats. Always love chopping it up with you. Do you get down?
Likewise,
you get downtime anytime soon? What do you got?
Yeah, we've got the Rooks coming in soon, but the summer break, it'll be here before we know it, man.
Okay.
And that's the time to charge back up before we get rolling. So
before we
always enjoy being on with you too, bud.
Thanks. That's Dan Quinn, Washington Commanders head coach, right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast. If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. PayPal is proud to be the official peer-to-peer payments sponsor of the NFL. When fans come together on game day, PayPal makes it easier to split ticket costs, cover tailgate supplies, parking, or even food. It's a simple way to settle up so fans can stay focused on the moments that matter. The NFL brings people together, and PayPal helps make paying each other feel easy from kickoff to the final whistle. Download the PayPal app to get started. Account with PayPal is required. PayPal, also the presenting sponsor of this week's Overreaction Monday pod, which you can get out there. No Contest Wrestling pod as well.
Yep.
Get it on our YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcasts. All 3 hours of this show as well. So it seems like a couple of very well-to-do individuals are trying to save LIV Golf right now. Investment bankers Gene Davis and John Zinman.
Okay.
One of them sounds like a guy I went to camp with. It wasn't Gene Davis. have established a new independent board as it attempts to survive a quote-unquote diversified multi-partner investing model. They're trying to survive as that. Because let me tell you something. When the Saudis say, we don't have any more money for you, something's not working.
Yeah.
They're out. Saudis have put their money on the table and slap, we're out. Sooner than you thought. That understands what reference I'm making right there. Here's the one thing I'm pouring one out for. And you could say whether they should do it or not, but you know, there's a lot of people in our industry who hook themselves up to LIV, you know, behind the scenes, behind cameras, in the trucks, you know, and hopefully for them, there's a paycheck coming. The players, not really pouring one out for them. Not pouring out much for the players. And nor will the PGA Tour. If this is it, the 2026 season apparently is going to be it, although governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, announced Tuesday that a scheduled tournament in New Orleans had been postponed, with a potential date later on being considered. So He's canceled two things over redrawn maps. Leave you to Google the other thing I'm referring to. And so it looks like the LIV Tour's got not much left to it. They are playing at Trump's golf course next week. That one's not getting canceled.
No, probably not.
And so I don't have much sympathy for the players who left the PGA Tour. They thought they were trying to make a point. And the interesting thing is the PGA Tour did change some ways of doing business based on the LIV Tour creation, right?
Yeah, suddenly there was more money for tournaments.
There were some changes.
There were some no-cut events.
There were some changes. Because I'm seeing people say the LIV Tour, thanks for nothing. You didn't do anything. But I'll be honest with you. I never got into it. Nope. I never watched it for more than just, oh, is it on? Let me see what it is. I couldn't care less about one team, the Fireballs versus the whoever the what's.
The shotgun
And it's
54
starts. Holes, and I didn't care. Nope. Not once. I didn't miss the players. I was watching the PGA Tour events. I was still locked in. And now those who left and took the big-ass paychecks are going to have to reap what they sow, unless the LIV Tour somehow moves on. But it did make some changes, hopefully for the better, for the players who stuck on the PGA Tour. And hopefully those, you know, if the LIV Tour continues, those who took jobs can still put food on the table. But for the players, there's a very tiny violin over here.
Yeah, they made their bed. And the thing
it's
is,
it's going to take more than a year to get back, don't you think?
Right. And, you know, they opened that little window that Brooks Koepka took advantage of. You know, he paid his fine and donated to charity, and he's out there grinding on the so-called mule events to play in these big money events and the qualify. You know, he's major exempt, but it's Bryson, it's John Rahm, and maybe one or two other guys, and that's it. When you're talking about who is going to be back on the tour, and you know the rules for Koepka and Patrick Reed are not going to be the same for these other guys. So is the fine going to double, triple? The qualifications going to get back on the PGA Tour? Are they going to change? Don't know. A giant big TBD. You know, Bryson could just be a YouTube golfer for all we know.
Right.
But yeah, man, good riddance to the LIV Tour.
I never really paid attention.
Me neither.
Ever.
It didn't break through at all.
And in terms of everyone wondering, you know, will the PGA Tour potentially cave for some of these people? The man in charge now is named Brian Rolapp, comes from the National Football League. I know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say the PGA Tour has the right man in the right spot for this moment.
Yeah.
Because he's not playing. I've been in negotiations with him. I can personally attest.
How so?
We're out of time. That's hour two. Chris Weber's coming up on this program. Don't you dare move on the radio.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.